First of all, so my name is Stephen Jacobson. Thank you very much for having me here to talk to you about the Farmer to Farmer program. It's been around since about 1985, but we'll talk about that in a second. First of all, an introduction of myself. I went to school at University of Nevada, Reno, and I got my degree in environmental geology for a master's program. And before that, I was in the same school at the geography department. I got my degree in physical geography. And then I spent about 8 years living and working in Africa. I was in Peace Corps in Zimbabwe and Lesotho, and then was hired by Winrock International and lived in South Africa for about 4 years doing an essential oils project where we extracted rose geranium from the plants with big steamers and things like that. And now I work for Cultivating New Frontiers in Agriculture, which is a international nonprofit, acronym CNFA. It was established in Washington, D.C. As a nonprofit agency in 1985, for about 30 years. We've been on over $600 million in projects over that 30 years. We currently work in 15 countries, primarily in Africa, but we started up in Eastern Europe in the former Soviet Republics. Now we just opened a program, not a program, but a new wing of our offices in CNFA Europe. So our mission is to stimulate economic growth and improve livelihood by cultivating entrepreneurship. So we really look at the business model on helping people succeed. Rather than only focusing on development, we also look at how they can integrate themselves into business programs. So these are some of the statistics of Southern Africa and GDP for the countries that we work in. Look at the top here, $8.6 billion worth of GDP comes directly from agriculture. Now, I know I'm supposed to be talking about horticulture, but it was very difficult to find anything dividing out horticulture only. Some of the more important parts of the barriers to growth are small-scale land holdings, technical knowledge, low productivity, and post-harvest handling. The post-harvest handling, obviously, can be infected by insects. Access to land really is dependent on the amount, the size of the family, the amount of land that's available. So there's countries like Malawi that the density is very, very, very high. And to have a whole hectare, 100 meters by 100 meters, to have an entire hectare devoted to just your family is very rare. It's also a mountainous country in parts, so you can't really plow the mountains as easily. Hopefully this you can see. Program. We have other programs in Africa. You can see us, we're heavily biased towards Africa right now. That seems to be where there's the most need for growth. The Green Revolution hit Latin America and Asia 25 years ago. It's still reaching Africa slowly. So these are some of the stats about our new program. We're going to be working in six countries. Malawi, Mozambique, Madagascar, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Moldova. Okay, so how we got Moldova, I have no idea, but it's a little tiny country up by Ukraine. But we succeeded in getting most of the Southern African countries that needed the most development. You can see some of our targets. We have got $12.2 million, so that's about $2 million per country. We want to field 420 volunteers, increasing the gross sales by $46 million from that $12 million. And then we want to serve 10,248 individuals over the period of our five-year program. You can see some of the bullets below that. Some of the important ones are strengthening farmer organizations. So we work a lot with cooperatives, and we work a lot with individual farmers and agribusinesses like agri-dealers. And we really work at linking farmers together. This is Bill Nichols, one of my favorite volunteers. He was doing an assignment in Malawi there at an ag dealer, helping their business skills and record keeping, which are generally non-existent in Africa. The two goals of the program are similar to Peace Corps, to create sustained growth, and then to learn about the Peace Corps, to create sustained growth, learn about the country you're serving in, and then come back and teach about the country that you're teach the United States about the country you're serving. So this is a very similar program, which is to increasingly systemic growth, sustained growth, and to have American understanding of the country that's serving you, even though it's a very short 2 to 3 week assignment, to understand what's there, and then come back to the United States and do outreach and talk about it, just like what I'm doing today. But that's one reason I compared those two, is because some people jokingly call the Farm Promo Program a executive peace corps. So you can, instead of devoting 2 years to your life, you can go and just do 2 to 3 weeks, and then come back, you know, talk about what you did, and then go back 6 to 8 months later.
So these are some of the consulting assignments that we would find for volunteers. We would find farms, universities, food processing companies, cooperative extension agencies, consulting firms, agribusinesses, and banks that need assistance in something. We would go to that group. We would go to that group, our field staff, which are all local staff. They would go and assess the needs of the individual, group or individual. And then we would find a volunteer with these skills. Farms, universities, food processing companies, cooperative extension. See the pattern building here. So we find an American or a person here in the United States with a permanent residence. They have to do one of those two things in order to serve. We would then send those people out to the assignment. They really are going out, and then what they do is they would go out and further assess the group or individual. Further assess the group or individual, and then develop a very detailed training program there. Now, we, of course, have a scope of work prior to them going there. That's how we decide which volunteer we want to send, but they would go and further refine it. Oh, sorry, go back. So these are the countries that we're working in currently.
You see the blue with us here, and here's some more. Here's some more. Now, WinRock is that part of the world that I need. Part of the Americas is the orange color. But if you are interested in other locations, other than Southern Africa or Moldova, I understand that, and I've got connections with all these other programs, and we share our volunteers very equally across the areas
in order to help the people that we're working with, not say, oh no, that's my volunteer, I'm keeping them forever. The keys to success, some of the biggest ones are right there at the top. It's a need-based program where we go and we do multiple assessments. We figure out what the biggest need is, and we bring a volunteer to help fix that. It's host-driven. The host tells us what they need most. We use assessment tools called the Organizational Development Indicator. But we also make sure that that is adaptable to the person, which brings us to the last point, which is the volunteer has to be very flexible. And then has to have strong technical expertise. We're looking for people like you with strong horticultural backgrounds that could go and teach small gardening or farm management skills or do a farm calendar planner, something to that effect. Yeah, that one's good. All right, so a couple examples of what we
have done in the past. We've had a lady in Portland, California. She went out to Angola. Very interesting country. And did a soil regenerative and soil fertility program. So she taught people that didn't know anything about composting, didn't know anything about adding biomass to the soil. Green composting, green manure, brown manure, anything at all. And taught them how to develop the soil to make it stronger. So rather than feeding the plant, you feed the soil. We had Tiffany Stoker Ridgewell out on a follow-up assignment. This is her first assignment. She did an assignment on production of pot peppers in Mozambique, and then was asked to come back about 4 or 5 months later and do a processing assignment on how to make hot sauce out of those pot peppers. So the bird's eye peppers, which are tiny little things like this size of bird's eye, they're very tasty. They make great pepper sauce, but you have to know how to make it better than what they were making it before. So she went there and she taught them about how to keep the shelf, how to improve the shelf life so that they can sell the same product for a long period of time, keeping more on stock and making more money. Matthew Cleaver, he's from California, Texas. Matthew is from California as well. little bit different area. And he's an expert on mushrooms. We had identified, our country director in Malawi had identified that because of deforestation, because of overpopulation, and because of overcollection of wild mushrooms, there was no mushrooms left in Malawi. Well, no is an exaggeration. Very few mushrooms left in Malawi. So we identified that and some hosts, the Tsange Cooperative and the Kalera Cooperative, that were trying to do mushroom production in Finland, coming out with very poor results. We identified him, and he's gone and done 5 assignments for us in Malawi alone on production, farm growth, and teaching the Natural Resource Management School, Malawi School of Malawi School of Agriculture, how to produce farm so they can distribute that out of the entire country. So we're trying to expand and identify the need, and we're trying to expand the possibilities for production. It's been wildly successful, and people like mushrooms. The farmer-to-farmer results for all implementers since the beginning of 1985, 118,700 volunteers, 12,380 host organizations, 1.5 million direct beneficiaries. Most of them are men, but about 30 to 40% are women, and we're trying to get that number up as much as possible. And 132 million indirect beneficiaries. An indirect beneficiary is if you have one person going in class, their entire family is an indirect beneficiary. What we look for in volunteers, well, it's you guys. We're looking for you guys. But they have to have skills that we need.
They have to be available when the host needs them. They have to have 2 to 3 weeks of availability in a row. We need them to be flexible and healthy. So they have to pass a medical exam. And they have to be flexible on what they're teaching. If they go down there and they're expert on coupons, and we find out that they're going to get an expert on tomatoes, they need to spend the evening learning as much as they can about tomatoes. And he'll teach that. And we like them to do this last part, but it's not required, but we like them to. Is if the host or the beneficiaries have internet access, we like them to be able to send them an email, have a quick text conversation, and talk to them about the needs of the day or the needs of the week. Now, usually it's maybe 5 or 6 contacts, and then another volunteer goes there and they have different needs, but we like them to stay connected a long time. Also,
we need them to do outreach like this to try to get in more volunteers and tell the American people about what they did in Malawi on mushroom production. The requirements are
U.S. citizen or resident, correct skills and abilities. They should be coming from these locations here. They have to pass a medical clearance, record check, and background check. You can't be on the Uncle Sam's bad medical clearance. We arrange flights. We do all the logistics. All you have to do is basically take a taxi to the airport and then take a taxi home. Everything else is ready for you. We have hotels and accommodation ready for you. We have flights ready for you, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have a debrief with both us and the staff in the country.
And that's really about it.
If there's any questions about the field, again, I apologize to you. Just now. Oh, you have to reverse point.
But they're recording it.
Oh, was I talking about that?
So, my question is you were talking about flexibility and being able to have 2 or 3 weeks available to spend. How much heads up would a volunteer have for an assignment?
Well,
we can't do it in a week. You have to get visas, you have to prepare to get tickets, you have to do medical clearance. A good rule of thumb is about minimum of a month, maximum of 4 months. So it's not that much lead time. So the timing is as well. Most of our volunteers go in the summer period. In the southern hemisphere, that's the winter. But we do appreciate it when people are available in the planting season and the harvest season as well, which is planting season is usually around December, January, and harvest is around March, April.
I remember our first innovation round, and we have a really similar program. program called the Challenge Fund, where we send, well, it's graduate students focused. And actually, according to them, I'll also do the Challenge Fund.
Good.
And as a member of that program, I'm often asked about helicopter development and, like, you're having people go in for 2 weeks and come back out. And we have our own answer to that. I think these programs are very beneficial in many ways in terms of passing on learning, but I'm just interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, it's okay. So I also did Peace Corps and it was able to be there for 2 years. And a lot of the results, even after 2 years, were not, oh, well, after a year when I was evacuated from Zimbabwe and then 2 years, I switched programs in the middle. So I was only 1 year, 1 year, and 1 year. But even after a year of helping, I didn't see any change. And I was there for a long time. But I talked to one of the guys that I've been working with for a long time. And he said, hey, look, your changes do not happen today while you're here. They happen 10 years from now. When they see the results and then start making different practices, the guy I'm talking about, his grade school or middle school teacher was an American Peace Corps volunteer. That's what made him want to become a development agent. Now, the farmer-to-farmer program was a more specific answer. We also have in-country staff that are very, very good. They all have degrees in agriculture from local schools. They're there for the next 5 years all the time. They also attend the training with the American volunteers. They also learn about what is being taught and can then purvey that out to a wider area. So yes, we think about it too. But sometimes these development programs, I'm not sure that the results are seen during the 5 years that USAID gives us. It takes 10, 15 years. I was the project manager of a program in South Africa for 4 years. And the idea was just getting spread. We maybe spread it to about 50, 60 people, but we felt it was a limited success because they were at least talking to other people about it. Thanks, guys.